Please enjoy this previously recorded segment.
Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. This week on the HR Power Hour, our guest is going to be David Stearns. He's the president of Dale Carnegie Maine at maine.dalecarnegie.com. And we're going to be talking about employee engagement trends and the importance of employee engagement and why it matters to not only employees, but to employers. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we are talking with David Stearns. He is the president of Dale Carnegie Maine. And we're going to be having a discussion about employee engagement trends. Welcome to the show again, Dave.
Well, thank you, David. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, we've certainly a lot has changed with Dale Carnegie over the last few months, and I know that we're very excited, of course, at CMA to have you as our partner now on board. You know, one of the things that we talked about in terms of the reason why the partnership was so exciting is because of the engagement trends that are out there today and how companies and organizations are really looking as to why employee engagement matters and the importance of it. What are some of the big trends that are out there that, you know, Dale Carnegie has spoken about in regards to the amount of money lost, the percentages of those employees that are engaged out there? Kind of give an overview of all that.
Sure. Well, it's interesting. If I can just back up a little bit, we, you know, as you know, David, Dale Carnegie is a global organization. We're in 85 countries. We have programs in 35 different languages. And in this country, a lot of the Fortune 500 companies, over 450 of them, regularly use Dale Carnegie training. So we were listening as far back as 2012 was when we started listening, and organizations were telling us about employee engagement and were curious. So we commissioned some research with MSW Research Organization about that very topic, about employee engagement. And since that time, we've done several other studies with large companies, small companies, all over the world, and we found that there's three clusters of behaviors that significantly impact engagement. And the one, of course, is that and this was no surprise, but that one of the keys to engagement is the relationship with the immediate manager. And that was no new news, except that we dug a little deeper into the emotional content of engagement and found out that unless a manager is known as a caring manager, and I put the word in quotes, caring, the relationship doesn't get as strong and as deep as it needs to for employee engagement. And an engaged employee is someone that will use their discretionary time and energy to further the cause of either their team or the organization or the mission of the organization. And we found in our research that 29% of the people in the general business population, 29% of the employees were engaged. That's one out of three, which wasn't good news. The bigger percentage, the 45%, was the what we called partially engaged. And by that, we found that they would show up and do what was expected, but that was it. They would get their check and they would go home. The most startling revealed that 26% in the general business population, 26% of the employees were disengaged. And by that, it meant that they were actively sabotaging their own company, either through rumors or gossip or even intentionally slowing things down. So it was quite startling, but a lot of it was the main driver was the relationship with the immediate manager.
I don't think, as you said, that that's a surprise. I mean, we certainly know that when people leave organizations, it's typically because of the people. It's not the company, it's the people or the vision
exactly.
of the leader
all and it's this, not even pay.
That's right. And pay's not.
I mean, that is a factor, but it's not the factor.
Correct. It's like number six or seven on the list. I mean, once you've achieved the amount of money that somebody needs to live on, then from that point on, it becomes something else that they become engaged about.
Exactly.
You know, one of the things that we talk about is the cost of turnover, because, you know, somebody who's actively or not engaged and then is leaving costs companies a lot of money. And I know you've used the number around $11 billion annually, having to do with employee turnover. You know, people will go, that's a huge, huge dollar amount. But it's even, I would even argue it's probably even bigger than that when you really think about the amount that it costs to train somebody else, to bring somebody back in the organization, the cultural shifts, the cultural norms that change. It's an emotional piece of it as well.
Right, and these are the things that our research continually backed up, because the emotional attachment to an organization comes from what was the second driver, and that was the belief in senior leadership. Do the people at the top walk the talk? We have missions, and we have visions, and we have values, and are they the embodiment of those things? And if they're not, that's an immediate disconnect. So they're looking for that. And, yeah, the latest figure I saw was $11 billion, but who knows? I mean, that's quite a costly price to pay for turnover and disengagement. And of course, the flip side of that is we found that with engaged employees will outperform others by as much as 202%. And that wasn't a Dale Carnegie finding. That was Blessing White finding in 2011, the 202% in some cases.
Well, certainly it's not a surprise when you think that engaged employees are going to drive harder. They're going to want to do better. They're going to want the reward of it, and they're going to drive and outperform. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Exactly.
So, Dave, one of the other things that we certainly know that we've talked about in terms of engagement is, what are some of the things you're seeing, or, you know, you've seen in the research that companies can do to improve engagement? What are some of the things that we're seeing that are really areas where companies can improve the engagement?
Well, one of the things we've seen is that where does engagement come from? And it comes from combining three things, our knowledge, certainly, that to perform and to engage, you have to have the knowledge, you have to know what you're doing. The entrance price today into a career or a profession is your knowledge. So you gotta know your stuff. That's not the whole story, though. We found far more impact on engagement is from skills, which is how your knowledge shows up, or the application of your knowledge, either in communications or people skills, your self-confidence. And then the other big driver is your attitude. And so looking at the emotional drivers of engagement, it's do they feel valued? Do they feel confident? Do they feel inspired and enthusiastic? And those are the responsibility of the top leadership team and the immediate manager team to create those environments.
Well, let's dig deeper a little bit into that question. And so tell me what's behind the scenes on that.
Okay. So when immediate managers make employees feel valued, it triggers a bunch of emotions. And feeling valued is something that moves people in an organization to a higher level of engagement. In other words, do you think of me as a person first and my skills after that? And so when we value somebody just for their skills and ability and neglect the person side of them, they're going to start to disengage. So being valued leads to being more confident. If somebody's more confident, they're going to be more deeply involved in the organization. That's going to trigger enthusiasm and someone that's inspired, and then someone that is empowered. And the key to engagement is they feel a sense of ownership and commitment to the ROI in the organization. So it isn't, and this is that discretionary. I'm going to make contributions to the, I'm taking ownership of my job.
When some leaders or organizational or owners are looking at their organization and they say, well, I know we need to do something.
Right.
I know we need to do something to improve the culture. We need to do something to engage our employees. But you know what? I just don't know where to start. And I just don't know how much is this going to cost me? You know, and let's be honest, at the end of the day, everything costs money. And so, but they do start saying, look, I know I got to do something. And they say it just like that. I know I got to do something. And I know that it's important, but I just don't know where to start. Where do you find a good starting point for companies? Because the basic dialogue that starts the conversation, how do they start that conversation?
There is an informal way to start that, and that just is kind of approaching your people one-on-one or maybe a team and just having some, how are you feeling kind of dialogue. I mean, you can keep it informal. There are formal assessments, engagement assessments that will give you some statistically valid feedback, and that can be a platform to create some training experiences that will help move both leaders and employees to becoming more engaged. I mean, a simple thing like praise, appreciation and recognition. If that were done more, that would create more of an engaged workforce. And that in your list that you mentioned earlier, that's ahead of money. You know, praise and appreciation. I want appreciation for work well done. So a lot of this isn't, earth-shattering things that we need to be doing. If you're providing growth and development opportunities for your people, are you mentoring and coaching them? You know, those types of things.
When you say mentoring and coaching, people get well, what's the difference? Well, how can I mentor, coach, train? Those seem like three separate entities. And in fact, of course, they don't necessarily have to be. But kind of explain that to the audience and how you see those three buckets and how they can be used effectively.
Okay, this is my definition. This is how I keep the difference. I work with organizations doing mentoring programs. I work with them in coaching assignments, and then certainly we do training too. So those are, to me, three different initiatives. A mentor is someone that is respected and skilled in an organization and is paired with a mentee, and the mentee's job is to watch this person, and the mentor says, here's how I behave, here's how I handle this, watch me and do like I do. That's, to me, the purest form of mentorship in an organization. A coach, on the other hand, is going to be actively involved in the person being coached, and they're going to look for behaviors or attitudes, and then in the moment more, will coach someone to behave different or do something different. So one is an observation. Mentoring is more of an observation. Coaching is more of an involvement. And then, of course, training is we've identified communication skills or leadership skills or sales skills, and we're going to provide some training, very specific formalized training, to give you those skills. So, and that could be an individual, it could be a team.
When we're talking about employee engagement, I know that we talk about there are four traits engaged employees exhibit. Talk a little bit about those four traits, and I'll list them off: enthusiasm, empowered, inspired, and confident.
Right.
Talk a little bit about them and how you can diagnose employees that way.
Well, confidence, and I'll just take that, to me, that's the base of everything, that your confidence, how confident. To me, it's having a comfort zone such that you can let people know that they're in control of their life, their job, and just that ability to step up and express themselves clearly, concisely, the ability to initiate good, trusting relationships and cooperation and leadership. So a confident individual is somebody that has those skills and that attitude that is, and it doesn't necessarily mean lead. It means to get results, to be heard, the people are going to pay attention to. They're respected, they're trusted. So once the confidence there, you're better as a leader, better in a better position to inspire people. And that means just creating an environment where individuals around you can feel inspired to take the next step or get involved. it's said that you really can't inspire anybody. You have to create an environment that allows an individual to inspire themselves. So it's about creating the environments that will allow people to inspire themselves.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB. We're talking with David Stearns from Dale Carnegie, Maine. We're talking about employee engagement, why it matters, and the trends. And we will be right back on News Talk WLOB.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Hi, this is Carfax. You already say, show me the Carfax. But now you can say, show me millions of used cars for sale at the all-new Carfax.com, where now you can search with the power of Carfax. Want cars with no accidents reported? You got them. Used cars that are well-maintained? You can find those too. Even one-owner cars are just a click away. Plus, we're the only site where you get a free Carfax report with every car for sale. So, find the cars you want, avoid the ones you don't. Start your used car search at Carfax.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're talking with David Stearns. He's the president of Dale Carnegie, Maine, and maine.dalecarnegie.com. And we're talking about employee engagements. We're talking about trends. And, you know, in this section, Dave, and by the way, thank you very much for being on the show. You know, we're talking about person-centered focus, right?
Okay.
So person-centered development. You know, a lot of times companies think that, you know, one size fits all. And that's not always the case, is it?
No, it isn't. Mentoring or leading people is a personalized or a tailored opportunity for a leader. And it is because everybody's different. A good leader needs to be sensitive to the differences in their people. So it isn't a one-size-fits-all. That's correct.
So what are some of the person-centered leadership tips that you can provide today for companies to think about, which is really a very handy tool that companies could look at in this area?
Okay. The first and foremost one, I think the one that's kind of the foundation of all of them, is an organization, a leader, needs to provide growth and development opportunities for their people. People need to feel that the organization is here to help me be a better person. And that's because of all the changes that are going on in the world, outside of an organization and inside of an organization, and to help an employee deal with those changes, the organization needs to provide the growth and development opportunities. They need to have the processes and programs in place that are going to allow, as I said earlier about inspired, they're going to allow an individual to build their confidence, to feel inspired, to get engaged, to get more enthusiastic about their job. So first and foremost, the growth and development opportunities, and part of that is aligning their individual goals with the organizations and then providing the support and encouragement to go get it. So this gets back to the third disengager, which is pride in the organization. People disconnect or disengage from an organization that they don't feel is supporting the greater good, that an organization must stand for more than the profit or the bottom line, that we contribute to not just our communities, but maybe to the world around us. And so an organization that has it in place and then provides the growth and development will have a more engaged employee.
And that's certainly driven a lot by millennials today, correct?
It is. The newer generation coming in has this expectation when they get to the job that part of the responsibility of the organization is to bring me up, increase my skill levels, make me more valuable, which is, I think the statistics reveal that they don't stay as long as some of the other generations stay within organization. It's because they're looking for things to grow and develop, and if the organization doesn't provide it, they'll go find a place that does provide it.
So when even, and this is something that we've talked about certainly before on the show, when companies are thinking about doing things for the greater good, some of the challenge they say is, well, I don't know what to do, right? Are you talking about giving charity money? Are you talking about, you know, letting people volunteer? How do they match that engagement? Because sometimes people are worried about their free time.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that an organization, and of course this, sometimes larger organizations have more resources than smaller ones. I think it's certainly got to be all relative, but offering a variety of opportunities or even offering people to find their own avenue, their own cause. You can volunteer on weekends, you can volunteer on your own time for things, but there are also some organizations that will let their people out for a half a day a week or for one day a quarter to go and paint a homeless shelter or to, you know, get engaged with something like that. I was with the Center for Grieving Children for a number of years, and there were volunteers from the various organizations to come in and assist us in painting some of the meeting rooms and things like that. So, you know, the organization needs to provide that avenue. It doesn't have to be, you know, a big sophisticated thing, but just letting people know that it's available and that we support it and we encourage it. And you're right, in the end, it shouldn't be something that's mandated. It needs to be something that people will enroll in or sign up for.
So what are some of the other personal, person-centered leadership tools or recommendations you would make?
Yeah, the second one is mentor and coach, and I've spoken to that. Although this dovetails nice with tip number one, a mentor or a coach can provide growth and development opportunities along the volunteerism, the pride in the company stuff. And so if someone sees a mentor doing it, they might be inspired to go and do that as well. The third tip is to help employees build networks. And that means that we want to empower employees to partner with other people and then be seen as subject matter experts in their field. So reaching out to, across departments, but also getting involved in after hours or eggs and issues or getting involved with universities or places where they can network and keep their relationships wide and diverse. So that's something that keeps people engaged. Number four is removing obstacles and providing resources. So part of growth and development and organizationally, many times there are internal obstacles, either through structure or policy or something. And so a good leader is going to try to take some of that stuff down to give people a pathway for doing something different. And maybe that's creating an ad hoc team or a special team that is focused on other things, maybe. And you bring together a cross-section of people in the organization on some specific task, like maybe it's developing values, or we're going to redo our mission, and so that should be a more collaborative approach.
You know, one of the things that you've talked about is really how companies can think differently, right, in terms of making sure that they're looking at their people in a more personal way. When you're looking at organizations that are struggling and they're trying to make choices, right? They have to make a choice. They got to decide on what they're going to do. How do you encourage them to say, well, I guess I should, or how do I decide on pulling the trigger and making that happen?
Right. Well, I think an organization has to ask itself a couple of things. One, certainly, you know, resources and financial resources need to be available for these types of things. But organizations need to look at the cost of turnover. That's a cost of doing business. And also looking at training or coaching or mentoring as an investment, because two things. If you invest in your people and train and develop them, they're going to be more productive. If you don't do that, then the performance won't be there, and behaviors don't change to get the needed growth. I urge people to think of this, that you're already paying for this. You're just not paying an organization like us. You know, that the cost of this is well documented and statistically documented in all of the research findings. So organizations, in essence, are paying for this already. In lost productivity, lost time, lost relationships, and, you know, lost processes and things like that.
You know, the one thing I would add to that is we talked about turnover at the beginning. It costs a lot of money to hire new people. And in today's market, keeping the talent you have and keeping the intellectual intelligence and intellectual property you have is a big deal. It's a big deal. And so, you know, I fully agree that at this point in the marketplace, at this point as we talk about employee engagement, it is becoming more and more important. Over the last few years, companies have just started to re-engage in this conversation. And I think it's important for people to understand just how important that is. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're having the great fortune of talking with David Stearns, president of Dale Carnegie Maine at maine.dalecarnegie.com. And we're talking about employee engagement trends, and we're talking about why it's so darn important to look at the employee engagement. You know, Dave, we talked about in the last segment different trends for companies to look at their team and find out about the person-centered leadership, things they can do to make things better. But, you know, one of the things you mentioned is that there are other studies out there, not just the particular Dale Carnegie study, that supports these efforts. What are some of the other study data that's out there?
Well, and some of this supports what I already said. There was a Gallup study that determined through their study 91% of workers said the most important ingredient in engagement is the relationship with their supervisor. So that just supports that, you know, here we've found the same thing to support this. But this was interesting. 39% of workers say they're likely going to leave their job in the next 12 months. That's 40%. That's four people out of 10 are going to leave their jobs in the next 12 months. So that doesn't bode well. When another research study, some estimate the cost of replacing each employee to be equal to their annual salary. And I've even heard more things. I don't know what the number was. But you take their annual salary, and that's the cost of replacing them. So that's an expensive way of doing business. This was interesting, and this was Blessing White finding. Less than 50% of directors and VPs are engaged, which is startling when you think about how important mentoring and coaching is. if the director or VP is disengaged, that's not very good mentoring. ASTD, business units with high employee engagement have a 94% higher success rate within their own organizations. 94% if they're engaged. Salespeople who are engaged produce 48% more revenue. There's a good investment. And then it says engaged employees are 87% less likely to leave their organization.
Well, you know, so around the horn, no matter what survey you look at, it's about getting people to not only come to work, but it's to get them to be all in, right, every day.
Exactly.
And that sometimes is a big task. But if you make it fun for people to be there, if you give them goals, you know, it's interesting. People sometimes say, well, you know, if you, you know, I'm afraid to give people, like, you know, to talk to them about things they're doing and so forth. People want to know what they do right and wrong.
Exactly.
Right? Isn't that and all this research shows that.
Yeah. One of the tips that we talked about earlier in the person-centered leadership is to hold people accountable to high performance. So when you don't do that, other people observe that. If people aren't held accountable to high performance, then that deteriorates. So it is about coaching and mentoring. It's about holding people accountable, at the same time showing you care.
Yeah, and there is a balance between that, but I do think that, you know, if the organization doesn't succeed, then nobody succeeds, right? I mean, that's the bottom line at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, Dave, we've talked about Dale Carnegie on the show before, but, you know, kind of give a little bit overview, if you could, about some of the public programs that are out there, and I'll certainly give you an opportunity to talk about some of the courses that are coming up.
Sure. Well, I mean, we have a variety of offerings in what we call our public offerings, our open programs, where companies, organizations will send individuals or teams. We also have customized solutions. I'll talk about that in a minute. But in our public offerings, the course that most people are familiar with is the Dale Carnegie course, and that's offered on a regular basis here in Maine, in Bangor and Portland.
I just want to highlight the fact, Dave, that you just mentioned that Dale Carnegie is coming back to the Bangor area.
Exactly. We're excited. In fact, that's starting next week, February 25th. We're in Bangor. We also have a program starting in Portland on the same evening. And we're excited to be back in Bangor, and our customers and clients are glad to see we're coming back. So that program is appropriate leadership program for somebody to create that environment. It focuses on developing poise and self-confidence, leadership skills, controlling stress and tension, as well as communication skills. The roots of that program go back to 103 years to effective speaking, effective communication. So that's the focus of the Dale Carnegie course. Another program that we offer is what we call our First Fridays, and that is a two-hour workshop on the first Friday of every month. That's held in Portland right now. The one coming up in March is on resolving complaints. And anybody in customer service or sales or really anywhere in an organization that has to deal with complaints, it is a two-hour workshop that will give you some confidence in dealing with complaints, as well as a formula or a structure to do that more effectively.
And so what are the upcoming First Friday for, we talked about the one for March. Is there one coming up for April as well?
April, it's how to work with people that tick you off. That's the title of it.
How to work with people that tick you off. Well,
right.
I suspect you're going to, that's a pretty good one if you ask me.
Well, it's pretty popular. Some of these are classics. In other words, we've brought them back year after year after year. And this one always gets a good response. We have a good amount of people that come out to this one. I think the title resonates with people.
And that's, of course, you can go to main.dalecarnegie.com to sign up, correct?
Exactly, exactly.
Great. And what other courses are out there?
Well, we have coming up in April are the Strictly Business, we call it, and it's the Dale Carnegie Immersion Seminar. It's on three consecutive days. on April 27th, 28th, and 29th, the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's going to be in Portland. And the appeal of that is people will, in that program, it's an immersion. They'll get an immersion into Dale Carnegie's principles and methodology. And the outcome is a solid business plan for improving your human relations, your leadership, your communication going forward. There's a lot of active facilitation in the workshop, so there are skills and competencies built in the 3 days in an immersion format. And people go out of there very energized, very charged up to go back to their workplace and their world and implement some of the ideas and principles that were talked about. So that's an immersion. And then in May 3rd, 10th, 17th, is the Dale Carnegie Sales Training, Winning with Relationship Selling, which is a powerful contemporary sales course based on the customer relationship and developing selling confidence by, again, looking at the processes that are involved in the buying cycle. When we understand why and how people buy, we're in a better position to facilitate how we can influence that and facilitate it.
No, that's great. A lot of great programs, a lot of good self-development techniques and tools. I think that one of the things that we're seeing is that companies are really thinking about the demand on this, correct? I mean, it's really resonated with more and more clients out there.
Oh, exactly. In fact, I'm just going to go one more, David. On May 6th, the first Friday, is getting ready for a presentation. That's another one that gets a lot of people out. Everybody is being asked to brief and do presentations these days, and this is a two-hour on how to get ready for it. There isn't any actual delivery. It's how to plan and prepare to get ready for a presentation, and that one has been, that's another one of the classics that's been brought back because it's so popular.
No, that's great. What, yep. Where do you see the digital side of the business going? I know that Dale Carnegie Digital has been an area where we're seeing some increased interest.
Oh, yeah. We're very excited about that aspect of our offering for our clients because we're working with organizations that are based here in Maine, but they're, some of them are even global, some of them are national, and they're looking for cost-saving alternatives. They still want excellent training, and so they don't have to fly people in for every single segment. People can avail themselves of live online training, and this is not a webinar. This is live online training where there are chat rooms and there are whiteboards and there are even breakouts. Each program has a facilitator and a director that handles all of the backside of the operations of a live online program. So these are giving the same outcomes because the trainers are certified in the same way that our live trainers are. So they're highly engaging and participatory experiences that people are raving about. So it's an offering to a company that where people can't be brought in all at once. People can get subscriptions and then go online in according to their schedule and book their own training.
No, that's awesome. So, yeah. David, you know, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. I appreciate you providing not only some trends and traits of employee engagements. If I will ask you one final thing. If you could give five tips for employee engagement, what would those five tips be?
Well, I think I mentioned a couple already, but one of them is to give people a fine reputation to live up to. That's one of Dale Carnegie's principles. I think people will live up to a reputation that you give them as quickly or maybe even quicker than when you give them one to live down to. So keeping a positive environment and a fine reputation. I think empowering employees to partner and act as consultants to other people is a way to empower them. Support agreed-upon career paths, I think, finding out what the goals and the individual objectives are of the person, and then eliminate barriers and communicate high expectations, and then finally become genuinely interested in people. You know, treat them as good people with skills, not a person with good skills, but good people with skills, and I think you'll be on on your way to a higher level of employee engagement.
No, that's great, Dave. I'll add one. I think that senior leadership has to make sure they articulate a clear vision to their employees because it all starts at the top.
Absolutely. I agree.
David Stearns from Dale Carnegie, Maine, maine.dalecarnegie.com. Appreciate you being on the show today. And as always, wish you a wonderful winter and into the summer coming up.
Thank you, David. Thanks for inviting me.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, and after we've had a great discussion with David Stearns from Dale Carnegie, Maine at maine.dalecarnegie.com, I wanted to take a little opportunity for the next few minutes and talk a little bit about what we're seeing in career trends that are happening here across the Northeast. And I think that it's an important topic. And so I wanted to take a few minutes to talk to everybody out there about some of the key factors that you need to think about when you're looking for a job or when employers are looking to hire you. And so let's go down a few. The first one that I want to talk about is the fact that it is really becoming a candidate's market, meaning that their employers are, in some ways, struggling to find great talent. But let's be clear about that. They're not just struggling to find talent. There's plenty of talent out there. The key word is great. And the reason that it's great is that it's not only someone that has extremely good skills or extremely good ability to do something. It's all about individuals that have the right personality, the right positive energy, the right positive attitude. And as you really heard in the segment earlier today with David Stearns, he talked about being engaged with your employer. Well, you have to be engaged in your job search as well. And you have to remember that there are choices out there. And so how do you differentiate yourself really is the difference between getting and retaining a good job. How you really go out there and sell yourself. And yes, career transition is sales. I often hear from candidates that sell that say to themselves or say to me, hey, I'm not that good at selling. Well, you know what? You're going to have to be that good at selling to go out and really take the time to make sure that you understand that you're selling yourself. You're selling an opportunity to have an employer talk to you, to have an employer that you are going to present to. And so presentation of yourself is really critical, right? It is something that you need to be able to think about from the basics, how you looked, haircut, everything from how you shave, oh, your clothes, pressed clean, shiny shoes, all the basic stuff that you think to yourself, does it really matter? Well, in fact, it does. It does each and every day. And so if you're out there really talking about finding a job and you haven't taken the time to do the basics and show that you're trying to represent yourself in the most professional and positive way, why should employers really look at you, right? Why should they talk to you? You know, it's not about just sending a resume through LinkedIn or sending a resume to a company into the what I call the big abyss, the recruiting at blank.com whatever company that is. It's about connecting to individuals and connecting with people that really make a difference, because people hire people. Companies don't hire people. People hire people. And so taking the time to make sure that you present well, that you articulate what you're trying to say, that you have researched the company, that's right, actually gone and researched what's going on with a company, what's going on with an organization, taking the time to find out who and what the leaders are, what the trends are, what their vision is. This is really about taking the effort on the front end, the proactive step to make this happen. And so as we're talking here today about engaged employees and talking about ways of making employees engaged, guess what? There's a little bit of element of employees needing to present themselves in engagement. You know, companies can do all these wonderful things of trying to get you engaged. But if you don't tell them why you're being engaged and why you want to work there, they're not mind readers, right? They're just not mind readers. You have to be the one that proactively goes out there and makes it happen. And if you don't like something, you need to say it. You need to say why. And, of course, it has to be done in a professional manner. And it has to be done in a way that people will say, okay, I'll listen to this individual. You know, there are a lot of opportunities out there in Maine, New Hampshire, and the New England area. There's a lot of opportunities across the country. So what are you doing to proactively grow yourself? What are you doing to proactively make sure that you're out there being engaged with your career search, being engaged with your career life, being engaged with your career future? Those are the questions you have to think about when you're thinking about what you're doing each and every day to make a career the best thing that you can be. You know, you work at your job more than you probably see your spouse or your partner. You work at your job and really see that each and every day, these are colleagues you work with. Heck, if you work at home. And next week, we're going to be talking with Jim Reedy. He's an employment attorney at Sheehan Finney Bass and Green. And he's going to be talking about telecommuting and working at home and all of the challenges that employers face with regard to that. Well, whether you are at home or at work, the fact that you have to be thinking about how your career is going to go forward and what you're doing to engage in yourself is the important part of this. So that's what we're talking about on today's show. We're talking about how to engage yourself, some of the public courses that are offered out there by Dale Carnegie, for example, are really about improving yourself. Don't just leave it to your company to also think about it. There are times that you're going to have to make an investment in you and determine what you really need. So make that energy a priority in your life for 2016. Here we are in February, right? February 2016, and we're focused directly on growing you, and companies want to engage you. Are you open to it? Do you have a positive attitude about it? Are you excited about that opportunity and that, you know, that growth? Or are you one of the naysayers out there? By the way, don't be fooled. Just because it's an employee-based focus market right there now, it doesn't necessarily mean that employers will hire you. You have to be the one, the reason, and you have to tell them why they need to hire you. Most companies would rather go without than hire a bad person, or hire a negative person, or hire somebody who really doesn't fit their culture or their image. Trust me, one negative fly in the ointment can mess up an organization pretty quick. So from a company perspective, as you're thinking about what you're doing here in 2016, how are you part of the solution, not part of the problem? How are you part of being out there and making it happen each and every day? You know, companies and organizations and leaders typically want to do the right thing. And I've argued many, many times that 99% of most supervisors, most leaders, most owners want to do the right thing. The question is, I'm not sure, and I'd be curious based upon the statistics we talked about today in the Dale Carnegie statistics that were brought up in regards to engagement. I often wonder, are employees looking to do the right thing? Right? Do they want to do the right thing each and every day? I would certainly argue the answer is yes. But the reality is that if we look at the percentages, for example, that he talked about in regards to number of people who are openly disengaged, and I was just looking back here to see that the number's 26% actively disengaged and can even sabotage an organization, that would tell me that that's a large number of people who really are potentially in the wrong place or in the wrong headspace in terms of making that happen. So what are you going to do each and every day in a positive way to go forward? What are you going to do each and every day to be happy about going to work and about happy to make the job an opportunity for you to grow? So I put the onus on both the organization and the employee. And by the way, for those who just joined the show, you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB. I'm your host, David Chulo, doing a little opining here today about the fact that we talked about today's show having to do with David Stearns. He's from Dale Carnegie, Maine at maine.dalecarnegie.com, and he talked about employer engagement and employee engagement. What I'm asking is for individuals to think about how they're going to engage with their jobs, how they're going to engage with their colleagues, how they're going to engage with their employers and their supervisors and owners. Are you going to be part of that solution, or are you going to continue to be or potentially be a problem? And so that's really, when you think about it, what most employers simply want you to do. They want you to do your job and to think about ways to streamline, imagine. They want you to innovate. They want you to think of better ways. You know, most employers are happy to listen to employees' ideas of doing things better if it can save them time and money. So if you are taking the time to make that happen and you have a better idea, share it. Do it in a professional way. Learn how to present your ideas. Come to some of the courses that are out there that talk about how to present your ideas. Remember, nobody will listen to you if you don't take the time and you don't take the energy to improve the way you project your image and project yourself. A little self-reflection here today on the HR Power Hour, right? Self-reflection about who you are and what you want to be. So when you're thinking about, ladies and gentlemen, your workplace, and you want it to be better, you want it to be improved, don't just rely on the boss to do it. Become part of the solution. Come up with ideas. Bring in solutions, whether they're external or internal, to make that happen. You know, as we get ready for the remaining part here, the last 10 months of 2016, I think it's important to think how important it is for you to get it right and how important it is for the success of your organization and your personal career. You know, we all got a lot riding on it. We've all got families. We all got friends. We got things. We want our cell phones, but we want them paid for. We want our homes, and we need food and the basics that are out there, but we also need to be needed, and we also need to make sure that we're out there doing what we need to do. So as I wrap up the show today on the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLLB, I ask you to think about it. I ask you to go to maine.dalecarnegie.com and take a look at how you can improve your skill set, improve your personal soft skills in your delivery, and let's make 2016 the best year for you. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.